Thank you very much, Pastor Debbie, for the opportunity. I just want to say that she's been encouraging me for this opportunity, and I have said no multiple times. So this isn't the first opportunity that she's given me, but it's the first one I said yes to. I want to thank my parents for coming today and being supportive, although I tried to keep it on the down low. It doesn't need to be a big deal, and we don't need to have the whole Grant family here today. But I'm thankful. What's that? Get the numbers up. I'm thankful that I'm able to stand here today, and in preaching what I have for you today, what I feel that God has done in me. A lot of times whenever you hear a minister get up and speak, it's usually because it's out of their own experience that God is working in them, and that it just burns within them that they want to share it with you. Because unless we can speak out of what God has done in our own lives, we have really no reason to get up and try to, you know, impart it into others, because God has to work it out in us first. So I'm excited about what God has in store, and I'm excited about the word today. And so before we get started, let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity, and Lord, we thank you for the work that you have begun, God. We thank you, God, that we are moving forward, and with you as the center and the focus, Lord, we know that there's nothing too difficult for you. So, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that your anointing would be upon everything that is said, and that the hearts and the ears, and that we would be open to what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I have several passages of scripture, but I think that as I was studying this week, that the main passage of scripture that I will open with and then conclude with will be from Isaiah 43, 18, and 19. So if you have your Bibles, or it's in your cell phone, or however you carry the word, Isaiah 43, 18, and 19. It says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." This is our last service in 2013. This is our last gathering together. And as you know, when you're watching TV and the news and whatnot, they reflect upon the year and all the events. So I did my own little Google search on what has happened in 2013. And these are the top 10 things that came up in different websites, in different searches that I did. The most people talked about, or people that were most talked about, was Miley Cyrus and Kim Kardashian. The Aaron Hernandez case, Paula Deen and her racial issues, transition in power with a new pope, North Korea missile threats, Syria civil war, the George Zimmerman trial, the royal baby birth, Obamacare, the Jody Arias trial, and the Boston Marathon bombing. Those are the top stories that hit the news. And then I did another search and I said, what is the good news? Good things that happened in 2013. Do you know that, like, I could barely find anything? I could barely find what things were top as good things happening. It was all negative and sad. But I want to tell you today about a people called the people of God, who God had a plan for, and God had a purpose, and God had a promise. And a lot of what I'm sharing with you today was because over this past semester, I've been deep into Israel and the people of God and God's promised plan, and had to write a 15-page paper on it. And so it's just part of my DNA right now. So I found it very interesting that as I read about them, that God was able to take something old and make something new in me. I just had an awakening. It's not that I didn't know the stories. It's not that I didn't know what God had done. I knew it. I'd heard about it as a child growing up, but it hit me in a different way. That's because God's word is powerful and God's word is alive. It's not a history book. It's not just a book to be read or studied for a test or to get credentialed or whatever. It is alive. And so we can't neglect all that God did in the Old Testament because it still applies to us today, because they were people dealing with problems just like we are. So I'd like you to turn to Exodus, and it's chapter 6, starting with verse 1. Now, if I had PowerPoint, I could put a PowerPoint up, but I didn't have the technology. But one day, one day. Exodus 6, starting with verse 1, says, now this is to tell you what was happening is that the children of Israel had been under slavery situations. They were told to make bricks without straw. They were being captive. They were being beaten. They were being oppressed. And so this is the time where God is raising up Moses to deliver the people. And so God is speaking to Moses, and this is what he says, starting with verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they lived as aliens. Moreover, I have heard the groanings of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. And in verse 6 it says, therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. So then it continues on, and it's just God speaking and reminding and showing Moses that I have a plan for my children. And so they are led out of captivity. As we know, the story goes that the plagues come and Moses goes back and says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. And until finally he gets tired of it after all the plagues and he's like, get out of here. I can't take it anymore. And so the people are led out of Egypt. And so they're out in this wilderness. And as you continue to read in Exodus, they kind of start to forget the oppression that they were under. So if you turn to Exodus 16, verse 3, and I hate to say this, but I'm going to have you in your Bible and moving around just so that you realize that God's word, what God's word says. Exodus 16, 3, it says, the Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. So what happened was is they forgot all of that oppression that they lived under. They forgot how they had been treated. They were out in the wilderness. And so they just remembered the former things. So in that situation, they were in a predicament. They didn't feel the promise. They didn't see the promise. They couldn't see the land. They couldn't see what was ahead of them. So what was their natural inclination to do? Let's look back. Wasn't it good there? Didn't we love it there? And, you know, in my own experience, you know, of ministry, there have been times that I've looked back and said, wasn't it good? Don't I wish I was there? Didn't we have a good thing? And when I was looking back, I wasn't able to see some of the confinement and the restriction and the vision that God had called me to, I had lost focus of. Because God had called me to chaplaincy, and I had lost focus of that because of another situation. So when we are in situations like this, we tend to look back. We can't see. God has promised something, but we can't see it. It seems far away. It's not happening. So our humanness is to look back. And then they felt like, well, they had nothing to worship. God had Moses go up and give them some commandments. And so they thought, well, what are we going to do while we're down here? We're bored. So they set up idols, and they worshiped the idol. They worshiped the creature. And isn't that sometimes like how we do? We look back, we can't see forward, we can't see past our own situation. So we look back, and we try to figure out plan B. How are we going to do this on our own? Let's figure out another way. Let's figure out our own plan. God has promised something, but let's just be happy doing something else, because all I can see is the past. I can't see the future, and I feel pressed in, and I feel like I there's nowhere to go. But what does the Bible say about looking back? Philippians 3:13, you don't have to go there. I'll read it. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Luke 9:62 says, Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Genesis 19:26, and this one was quite an experience. But Lot's wife behind him looked back and became a pillar of salt. You see, God was leading them out of a sinful city and destroying a city and saving them. But because her heart was still there, she had to look back. She didn't have the hope of the future of what was to come. She was obedient in her physical presence to leave and submit to her husband, but her heart was there. So we can be obedient physically, but if our heart isn't obedient, if our heart isn't obedient to what the Lord has said, this is what happened to her. I don't know. I don't think God's turning people into salt anymore, but it's just an example of the fact that when our heart isn't right, it doesn't matter what our physical body's doing. It's about our heart. And leaving, she needed to leave the sin from that city. There's practical sayings about how what maybe the children of Israel felt like. Maybe this is you. You feel hemmed in, up a creek without a paddle, up a tree, going down a river with one oar. You feel like there's no hope. But if you keep looking behind, and I had this happen. It was funny because last week I was at the hospital and I was getting off the elevator and this little boy was talking to his mother and he was going, da, 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 and I was standing there and he walked right into me. She's like, if you keep looking behind you, you can't see where you're going. And I was like, well, that was perfect. You know, you also can't control what's behind you, can you? And I'll use a little example when I'm practicing driving with my daughter. And we're in the car, and we're driving, and she's like, I don't like those people driving behind me. They want to pass me. I'm going too slow. And I say to her, don't worry what's going on behind you. Let them do whatever they want to do. You need to pay attention to what's going on in front of you, because that you can see. Looking behind you, you're going to miss what's going on in front of you. A runner in a marathon doesn't run looking behind. They may glance at it like you glance at your rearview mirror in your car, but they don't run looking behind. They keep the goal ahead of them. Let's get further ahead. Let's get to that next telephone pole, and if I can get past that, then I'm going to get to the next. But knowing that at the end, it's about finishing, and it's about finishing strong. You can't change the past, so why would we want to dwell on the past? We have no control over the past. So why do we base our future on our past? It's human. The future we don't know. The past we have the history. The future is unknown. But by not looking forward, you're saying, I don't trust you, God. I only trust myself and what my own experience is. I don't trust you, because trust requires faith. Faith is the opposite of fear. Fear keeps us in our past, holds us back, keeps us stuck in the same situations, repeating the same mistakes, living in the same hurt, holding on to the same unforgiveness. But putting it behind us requires faith to move forward. It requires action. It requires us to get past being stuck. I work with the elderly community, with hospice. Thankfully, most of them are 85 and older. And they sit and tell me, I remember the good old days. And they're stuck in the good old days. And sometimes we are too. We remember a time, maybe it's even to encourage ourselves, like, I remember when it was happier. I remember when we were a happier family, and now we're not. And we're stuck living in the past. Or even if it's a good thing and we're remembering times when God was good and God was alive and we were on a mission and God had called us, and we're just living in the past experiences, but we're not going forward in the things he's called us to. Jeremiah 29:11 says, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for a hope and a future. A future is going forward. A future requires faith. It requires hope. It requires trust in your Heavenly Father. You see, if we only look at the past, whether it be negative or positive, we're not putting our faith in trust in God who holds the future. We need to leave the past behind us. Matthew 16:23, Jesus was talking to Peter when Jesus spoke of the future. And Peter said, no, that won't be me, when he told him he would deny him. And Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. So, you know, when I read that, it kind of took me by surprise. I said, you know what? That's true. The only thing behind you should be Satan behind you and God before you. It's only the only person we say to get behind us is Satan. So when our past comes to be our, try to dictate our present, we need to say to it, get behind me, because I'm going forward. I'm not going backwards. You who are a stumbling block, this past or these experiences that are causing me to continually to look back and remember and hold bitterness and hold unforgiveness is a stumbling block to me, and I can't go forward. I need to say, get behind me, because Peter wasn't Satan. It was what he was speaking, because he didn't believe that he would ever do what Jesus was saying he would do, but Jesus was the truth. So when he spoke the truth and Peter responded in a lie, he said, get behind me. So what are lies that you're being told? There are lies that we believe that things will never change, that things will never be better, that you'll never accomplish it. But God, and I'm getting ahead of myself now, but I'll go back to that first scripture. That is not the truth. Going forward. So the people of God were forced to move, okay? So they get their act together. Moses brings the Ten Commandments, and he gives them these rules because now they've become like 600,000 people. This wasn't just a little clan of people. They needed rules. They needed something to live by. So Moses is bringing these people, and they get to the Red Sea. The enemy's behind them, and freedom is ahead of them. But there's something in between, and it requires them to cross over the Red Sea. Or what is the option? Go back and become captive again. They were forced in a situation. They felt in a predicament. So what do you do when you're forced like that? When you feel like you only have the past, there doesn't seem to be a future. See, that's what happens with people who end up taking their life, because they don't see the hope of a future. They're hopeless. They've lost hope. They only can feel the pain of the past. What do we do? Let's look in Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber or sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm, but he will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. Where do we look? We look up. Paul writes to the Philippians in Philippians 3:13, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Now, who was Paul? Paul was a persecutor of the Christians, a murderer of Christians. Before he became Paul, he was Saul. And could you imagine the guilt he could have had before he had his experience with God about what he actually did? Did he allow what he did to control him? No, he's saying here, he's admitting, I'm not saying I have it all. I'm not saying that I've made it. I'm not saying that I'm perfect. But you know what? I'm going to press forward. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to forget what's happened to me. I'm going to forget that I was a horrible sinner. I'm going to forget. I'm not going to. That requires forgiveness of yourself. Sometimes we can understand that God's forgiveness because he's a holy God and he can do anything and he can wipe away our sins, but we hold it and we don't forgive ourselves and we don't let go of it. The year ahead. So first my message was going to be called Don't Look Back, but I thought that's kind of negative because it's just saying don't do this. But what do we want to do? We want to go forward. Where in the world are you going? Where are you going? Go back to Isaiah 43:18-20. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. What has God promised you? Maybe he promised it to you a long time ago. Maybe you've forgotten about it. Maybe you've given up on it. It just seems too hard. It just seems impossible. It's impossible. Those were lofty dreams. I was young and full of vision. And now I'm older and reality has set in and it's just not possible. Have you given up? What works are you adding to your faith to accomplish it? You know, the Bible says that faith without works is dead. You can have great faith, speak faith, but until you put into action, really, it's dead. So it's faith and works together. I would like to say that I'll just have my master's degree and it'll just be there by faith. By faith, I'll have it. It'll just come to my door and I won't have to do anything. No, it requires me taking a step of action. It requires me to go forward to something, you know, and fear at times in this process has kind of been like, oh, I can't do that. Oh, no, I haven't gotten my bachelor's degree yet, so it can't be possible. But you know what? God orchestrates your steps. And if he has a plan in it for you, God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. I'm telling you. He sets it up. Even though we think we might just be going through motions of life in ordinary circumstances, I went to a district council and thought, nah, this is all for pastors who are pastoring churches, and I'm not one of those, and, you know, I have a different calling, and business is, it's, you know, boring. Let's look at Facebook. But God had me there for a different purpose, to connect with people that he had ordained to set in my path that would tell me, oh, you know, the school you graduated from is going to have a master's program, and they're going to, you know, and, you know, maybe they'll consider taking you on life experience for your bachelor's, and maybe they'll make a way. And, you know, when I first asked them about it at district council, oh, no, we can't do that. You have to finish your bachelor's. And I'm like, oh, it'll take me time and money, and how am I ever going to get there? And I could have allowed those little things to be blocks in my life, but God showed me another way. And he's like, and, you know, it was just a matter of taking steps and saying, okay, you need to write a letter, and you need to pursue this. And I pursued it, and they considered it, and they said, okay, faith and works together. If God has called you something, you don't ever want to lose your passion for it because God birthed it in you. It's not going to go away. So you just keep going. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your situation. You just keep moving forward. I'll admit, though, once in it, I wanted to get out of it. I was panicked. I can't do it. Thankfully, I'm thankful that I have friends and family that cheered me on and encouraged me, you know, but that's what the body of Christ is for, right? To encourage us and to spur us on and to cause us to move forward and to not retreat. And I remember Pastor Debbie saying to me, I said, I want to quit. I can't do this anymore. What do you want me to say? I said, don't say anything. Don't tell me anything. Do you want me to encourage you to keep on or do you want me to say it's okay to quit? And I said, I don't know. I don't know, but I can't take it. I can't do it. It's too hard. I'm out of my league. this is not what I want. Can't I just pray for people and that be good enough? I don't want to do this. And we resist it, don't we? We resist change. We resist future because of fear. Fear is opposite of faith. So you have to look with eyes of faith. Even though you can't see it, you have to see yourself there. And I shared with you several months ago about being at the hospital and 7 years of waiting, but then starting to put some action. And once I started to physically pray and walk around that. Now that may seem foolish, but I think God takes the foolish things, right, to confound the wise. And start believing that God was going to do it. And somehow God did it. Because he's the dream maker. He's the one that makes our dreams and our visions. Who gave you the dreams and visions? God gave you the dreams and visions. We just have to be willing to walk in it. Or are you giving up and looking back, living the life of shoulda, coulda, woulda? A lot of people on their death and dying bed, they'll say, if only. They deal with regret. It's a big life lesson learner for me when I see these people on their deathbed. I wished I woulda. I shoulda, coulda. And that's a hard thing to get over at the end of your life. You don't have a lot of future to change it. You don't have a lot of opportunity to make the wrong right. But we live in that every day when we're not going forward. We live in regret. We just exist, get through another day, with no hope of a future. Maybe you feel like you've gotten off track. Well, I've taken this course off track and there's just no way of getting back on the track where the vision is. That's a lie that the enemy will tell you. That is a lie. There is a future. There is a plan. I hope that this word breathes hope into your life and that God is going to do a new thing. That's what our text says. And I think it comes at a very fitting time with us individually at the end of a year and with us as a church at the end of the year, that God is going to do a new thing and that we have to have hope. We can't get weary in the journey. You know, we've only been in this facility for how long? How many months? Yeah. We were doing every other week in the fall, right? So we've been here a short amount of time, but we're already tired of setting up chairs. We are. We're tired of setting up chairs and getting there early and, you know, everybody, you know, getting there. And, you know, I was thinking about growing up that for 4 or 5 years we set up chairs and we came with packed everything up and first one's there and last one's to leave. So I know how the Moylan family feels. And so we sometimes get tired, but we have to keep the vision, which we'll hear about next week, ahead of us. So that we don't get weary in doing, that we continue to say, you know what, we're just going to keep doing this until God opens the door, until God leads us into where he's called us. The vision is great. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. There's plenty of vision here, plenty of vision. But sometimes if we can't see it, we're trying to just figure it out. How's it going to happen? How's it all going to work? How's the finances going to come? How are the people going to come? How's it all going to happen? I got to figure it all out. But I believe that God is saying, I'm going to do a new thing. And we're going to be surprised at what God does. What may seem like very difficult and very hard and not able to do, God is going to do it. We are going to see him bring water through the desert and make a wasteland fertile. Amen? So don't be afraid. Don't let your past dictate your future. Maybe the first step in that is to make things right with God. You know, we can't try to fix it in our own strength. Because when we try to fix it, we just go back to old habits. Same things that we've done before. It's temporary. How many people start the new year and start a resolution that lasts for a week? You know, studies have proven that resolutions that are done, hardly any of them, people, you know, they start off good. All the gyms fill up. All the Weight Watchers fills up. Everybody starts eating healthy, and within several weeks, we're just back to the same old. We're creatures of habit. We might lose sight of what our goal was because we just get tired, and we'll never get there. Maybe you can't forgive yourself from the past. Maybe there's things that you just feel like, I am not worthy of forgiveness. I am not worthy to be accepted and loved. I can't forgive myself. Or maybe you're holding on to the past hurts. Maybe someone has hurt you or offended you, and you just can't seem to get over it. See, the only one that you're robbing is yourself from the freedom that you have in Christ. You know, forgiveness is not about saying that what has been done to you is okay. It's about being freed from something, because you become a prisoner in that unforgiveness, and you become stuck, and you can't go forward. It stops you in growing. You have to be able to let it go and forgive and live in that state of forgiveness. And maybe you feel like those people that are getting ready to cross the Red Sea, and you're afraid, and you're living in bondage because you're afraid. I just need to stay here because it's all I've ever known. Some of those people, the generation, only knew captivity. Some of them never even made it to the promised land. But there was a people that God promised that did make it. Moses was brought to be the leader, but he never entered it. But he led them, and he saw it. He was able to see what God had promised. You see, there is a hope and a future. And where there is faith, there is no fear. God has a plan for your life, as my father always says. God has a plan. And it is to go forward, to not retreat. No army of God pulls back. We forcefully advance the kingdom of God. Amen? It's not a retreat. We don't look back. The Bible says that if you accept him, that the old things are passed away and all things become new. Are you ready for something new in your life? Are you ready to see God fulfill the things and bring to you what he's promised? Maybe it's even the promise of a child coming back to the Lord, or a family member getting freed from things. Maybe God has promised something for you, and you've just waited forever, and it just seems like it'll never happen, and you've given up. I pray today that this brings hope within you today to turn from looking back and press forward towards a mark. Amen. You can bow your heads this morning, and let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are the maker of new things, oh God, that you are the God of second, third, fourth, fifth chances, God, that you are a forgiving God, and that you have a hope and a future for us, God. Without you, God, we know there is no hope. Without you, God, we know that we continue to fall and we continue to stumble and we continue to look back, and yet you tell us to put the past behind us, that the only thing behind us is we put the enemy behind us, God, but you go before us. You lead us, God. Fear doesn't lead us, God. Faith leads us, God. We walk by faith, and we walk not by our own sight, God, but by what you have given us, God. We put that promise, God, that you have given us, whether it's for our household to be saved, God, that you've promised it, oh God. I just pray today, God, that we would take up our weapons that you've given us and fight the good fight, God, that we wouldn't become weary in doing battle, but we would just become strengthened with the hope that we have, God, in you. Lord, you are the dream maker. You are the life giver. You are the hope and the future, God. God, your plan is to help us and not harm us. And so, God, today I pray, oh God, for whatever obstacles, God, may be in anyone's life today, God, that are stopping them, God, that are causing them to live in this place of feeling hemmed in and not feeling free, God, and not feeling, God, that there is a future, God, that the circumstances and the situations in their life seem so big, God, that they'll never, ever be able to accomplish, God. Lord, help us to realize that we are unable to accomplish this in our own strength, God, but it is through you, God. You give us the strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, God. Lord, there are warriors here that may be weary in doing the fight, God. And I just pray, God, that you would bring along armor bearers that would come around them and lift their arms up, God, and strengthen them, oh God. I pray, oh God, for this church, God, that Lord, you're going to do a new thing, God, that there's vision, oh God. I pray, oh God, that we would not let situations or circumstances or finances or anything, oh God, block the vision, oh God, that you have for this community, God. That, God, you would raise up an army of faith builders, God, that we would be able to march in and defeat the enemy, oh God. Lord, we thank you, oh God, that you came, oh God, to just fulfill everything that you've promised, God. You are a personal God. You've given us all dreams. You've given us all visions, oh God. And let us break free, oh God, from some of these things, God, that may be stopping us, Lord. So I'm just going to ask right now, as you're in your heart, you're considering everything in your own life, if you have things that you feel are stopping you from going forward and you want special prayer, I want you to just come up here and we want to pray with you this morning. Nobody needs to say what they are. Nobody needs to admit, but maybe there are just something that you just feel like, I'm just too afraid. I'm just struggling. I just can't forgive, or I can't let it go, or I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. If you want special prayer this morning, we're going to just leave these altars open for special prayer. Or maybe you feel like, you know what? I don't even have the prize ahead of me that I'm looking forward to. I don't even know that Jesus is my hope. I don't know that there is somebody that can give me hope, because I've been just trying to do this life on my own, but I need Jesus. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe it's you that's saying, you know what? I need to have this hope. I need this hope in me. I've had no hope. And if that's you, you know, I want you to come up here and, you know, we want to pray with you, or and offer you the hope that we have in Jesus Christ this morning. So we're just going to pray. And if you want to come, just come. If not, we'll just have Pastor Debbie close it up in prayer. But we're just going to wait a moment. Lord, we thank you, God. Thank you, Lord.